You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 390, entitled Interview with Mark McGuire from Mark McGuire Landscaping. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, of course. And if you guys are interested in doing one of these interview episodes, be sure to reach out to me. If you follow me on Instagram, you can do that easily by just leaving me a DM message. And if you don't, then you can go to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/contact and just leave me an email there as well. And alternatively, if you are listening to this on a podcast player, just go to the podcast show notes, and there's actually a link there where you can leave me a voicemail message and hook up with me in that regard. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mark McGuire to the show. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Pretty good, Julio. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastically. Thank you so much for coming out and taking the time to do an interview.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Glad we can make it work.
Yeah, awesome. So we're recording this in sort of mid-December, but for those listening, this is actually the first episode of January 2023. So happy New Year to everybody listening, and happy New Year in advance to you, Mark.
Yeah, happy New Year to you too.
So let's get right into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
My name is Mark McGuire. Own and operate Mark McGuire Landscaping here in Patterson, California. Been in business, the company's been in business since 2002. I've had it going. Went full-time with it in 2008. Before 2008, I was in the golf business. I was assistant superintendent at a golf course around here. I started that. Actually got into the turf industry in 1999, right when I graduated high school. Then I attended Rutgers University, got a degree in turf grass management.
Oh.
Thought I was going to go to the golf course, the golf course route.
Mm-hmm.
But the course I was at actually ended up going bankrupt during the whole recession in 08.
Oh.
And at that point, I decided to jump in full-time and just continue to grow the business.
Oh.
That time I had about 20 to 30 accounts that we were servicing, just jumped in, and now, we service about 110 accounts, about 95 or so of them on a weekly basis. We have a few bi-weeklies. I'm really trying to get away with those.
Mm-hmm.
We also do just a little bit of pool maintenance with mainly our accounts that we service on the lawn side.
Okay, cool.
And so we have a couple just random pools for people that I know that we do that I would include in that 110 number. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, just do, it's, me and my brother's my partner in the business.
Nice.
I'm the owner. He sort of helps me run all the stuff. It's me and him out on the routes every day. So we stay really busy with the two of us, and, yeah, that's pretty much our backstory where we're at on that stuff.
Very, very cool. So it's safe to say that this is now your 100% main income?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's been that way since about 2008. So
yeah, very good.
Before that, it was just a side hustle, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So before you got into that sort of taking courses and stuff on, the field, what got you interested in following that as a career?
So I actually, being in the golf business, I played golf in high school. I liked playing. I had, during high school, I was working at a golf course, like in the cart, doing the golf cart maintenance and that stuff.
Okay.
And really liked working outside. A guy that was the superintendent seeing me, I used to always talk with him. He knew I was graduating high school, and he offered me a job to come start mowing lawns. And I said, perfect, you know. So graduated high school on a Friday. Monday, I was working 40 hours
a week,
you know, cutting greens and tees, and just really started from the very bottom there and worked my way all the way up to, you know, being an assistant superintendent and running two golf courses, maintaining, like, I think we had like 300 acres of turf and 40 people underneath me when the place went, you know, and then it started to slow down once everything, you know, the housing market unfortunately took a hit on that point. But really lucky, had a great boss there who pushed me, who mentored me the, you know, the whole way through it. Any questions I had, pushed me to go to school for it. And I loved being outside. That was my thing. And here I am, you know, what, almost 25 years later, still doing it. So I love it.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Yeah. It's sort of, it's one of those things that just, like I find for me, it just, it fits my personality, just that being outside, being busy, being going to different places, and, you know, from, you know, each house to house, and the house is like a different environment and situation each time. Yeah, it's just a neat thing to be out there doing versus so many other, you know, I've had countless jobs. I could have a whole, you know, write a whole book on the jobs I've had before in the past and different things and how they, you know, I think the longest job I ever had before doing lawn care was like 5 years. And that was long for me, with the most of them being like a year or two. And before I would get like so bored or something, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just neat how interesting the work is. It's always different every day. Even if you're just mowing lawns, there's just different situations, different things that happen each day.
Everything's different, you know, and it changes, you know, throughout the year. It seems like summer we almost get, you know, like in a, I guess you can say it's just real repetitive, where it's go mow, edge, blow, spray some weeds, trim some bushes. It gets to be a lot, and it's sort of nice this time of year where it's different with doing pruning and, you know, adding some mulch here or there or whatever. And but every day is different, every property is different, the customers are great. So
yeah,
you know, I love it.
Love that. It definitely helps when you have good customers like that, if they're appreciative of your work and show their appreciation all the time and stuff. It definitely makes it fun to go out there and to go to their houses and work on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you said it was you and your brother. Have you guys had any other employees?
So once I left there in 08, when I left the golf course, I had a couple guys that came on with me. One of them came on and was with me up until 2020, sort of right in the middle of COVID. Mm-hmm. He actually took off and moved back to Mexico. He was a great guy. And he was with me for quite a long time, and he was running the crews, and it allowed me to sort of scale my business up. I could really trust him with a lot of that stuff. I mean, you know, I'd send him out somewhere and he would do a better job than I could or I would ever expect of them. And we grew a lot. And I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. Mm-hmm. So we grew a lot with the guys that we had.
Yep.
When we had the guys, I would always go out and pick up more accounts. If we needed more, I could get more. If I needed to let some go, I could let some go. We sort of grew. I always grew with the staff that I had on hand.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with really telling people, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I lost somebody, an employee. You know, I need to scale back. Mm-hmm. We're just not a right fit. You know, I've gotten rid of some of the biweekly stuff because we you know, we thought that wasn't the right fit.
Okay.
So I've done a lot of growing. My you know, my business has changed a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting ready. I have some really big plans. I'm trying to make some moves behind the scenes right now.
Okay.
As far as the new website, getting ready to do a whole bunch of marketing. I really want to grow in the next year. I want to double the business actually. In the next year is my plan.
Wow.
Sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. I've also had some, you know, the last few years I sort of take three kids, 16, 15 and 13. So, you know, I coach their baseball, their softball. I've tried to focus on them because I didn't want to miss this part of their life.
Yeah.
now it's a point where, hey, I could grow a little bit. I don't have quite as much going on, quite as many obligations, you know, every day. And I'm going to start pushing and try to grow again. So I will be getting back into having bunches of employees. Hopefully I have to hire, you know, 8, 10 people.
Yeah. That sounds, that sounds very cool. Neat, bit of a journey you've been going
through. Sounds like a nightmare to some people, but, you know, I'm getting, you know, I'm in my early 40s, we'll say, and I know I can't keep going the way I have been for years. And I want to get to be more of a manager and, you know, get to be more of a, you know, an owner, I guess you could say, rather than working for, you know, being a landscaper, I guess you could say.
I know what you're saying. Ironically, yesterday I was doing some Christmas shopping and I happened to be at Costco. And I saw a one of those like deep tissue massage guns, and I was like, "Oh, I need that for after work every day."
Yep.
For all the knots and things that I get in my thigh muscles and stuff from all the walking and stuff, I was like, "Oh, I need that. Gotta take that."
I know exactly what you're talking about. We actually have one of those.
Oh yeah,
they work good.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully it'll be my my weapon for next year to use on loosening up those muscles in the evening.
Add it to your Amazon wish list. And I'll buy it for you for Christmas.
So this next question is one of my favorites because every time I ask somebody who is not a business owner, I always get the same answer. But every time I ask somebody who is a business owner, I always get a different answer. So for you, Mark McGuire, how would you define success?
Okay. Success for me, I guess in the business it's changed a lot for me. You know, like success for me was, you know, I had a couple crews, we got there, we were profitable, we were making money. Like I said, I scaled that back for family reasons, for employee reasons, that sort of stuff. Success for me now, I guess you could say, is like I just mentioned, where I'm getting to that point where I guess I could step away from the business and it would still run itself, is, I think, going to be the pinnacle of my success. You know, when I could take off and go to our cabin for a week and know that, you know, the guys and the crew, whoever is working for me, that, you know, we walked away, the family's still taken care of. I still get a paycheck and I'm not worried about, you know, so much about getting a phone call at, you know, 5 or 6 at night and I got to head back out.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way I'm going with success, is it's changing for me. That's how I would define it, to where I could walk away. The business is running itself. Myself, my family are taken care of. You know, my brother works for me. His family is taken care of. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I build this thing and, you know, I could sell it, hey, that's a success. If I build this thing up and, you know, my son, who's 15 now, comes to me and says, and 6 or 7 years and says, hey, that will help run the business. And I can leave it to him. That would be 100% successful to me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause he has a good start on his career.
Yeah.
He doesn't, that's fine too. but no, I think that's probably the best way for me to explain it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So there in, California, and where did you say exactly you were at?
I'm right in the middle of California. I'm in Patterson, which is, we're about 30 minutes west of Modesto, right in the center of the state. We're about an hour east of like the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay. So what size properties do you typically maintain there? And what types of equipment do you use to maintain them in terms of like mower sizes and stuff like that?
So I think after, you know, seeing your Instagram, I think you and I maintain a lot of really similar properties. I would say, you know, some of them are just little tiny front yards that might be 500, 600, 700 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might even be, I have one that's, I'm not even kidding, it's probably 150 square foot lawn that we maintain. And there's just some, you know, bushes and around it that we maintain all those too.
Yep.
A lot of small, I mean, I would say the average is 1500 to 2000 square feet of saw or, you know, turf. Plus we, you know, have, you know, 700-800 square feet of flower beds we maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Here we, And I think this is a lot more of like a California thing, talking with guys around here and, you know, listening to other podcasts and your podcast. A lot of guys go out and just mow big acreage. Where here, it's, we're small lawns, but we maintain the bushes pretty much every week. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pulling or spraying weeds. We have sprinkler systems that, you know, because we don't get a lot of rain around here, that we have to maintain in the summertime. Timers are constantly being adjusted. They're just, I guess you could say it's like an all-inclusive, a full-service type yard. It's not just like a mow, blow, and go.
Yeah.
Everybody here wants weekly, their bushes maintained all the time, that sort of stuff. So they're smaller lawns. My biggest one is that we maintain is probably, I don't know, an acre and a half that we mow.
Yeah.
Equipment wise, main things on my trailer are I got a 42-inch Exmark Navigator.
Okay, nice.
There's no way I could live without that thing. It's the second one I've had. I just bought a new one. I think it's like a 2020. And a commercial 30 Exmark with a new Kohler engine on it. Love that thing. Those things are lifesavers. And we have some Honda mowers that we use as spares. And I also have a 32-inch Exmark Steris that we use. We use that quite a bit. And I also bought one of the detach, Z-Raiders to go on the front of that thing. So we use that for like aerating some of our bigger properties when we do the lawn aerations. And then as far as smaller stuff, I love Echo products.
Okay.
So we're all Echo, the PAS, 2620 blower, the hand blower. We use a lot of here with the smaller properties and, like the attachment, the PAS system for, as far as the trimmers, we use that for everything. And then PB 9010 for leaves right now. So.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Very, very
been
cool.
Burning through fuel on those the last couple of weeks with all the leaf cleanup.
Yeah. Very cool. You're talking my language, especially with that Exmark stuff. It's been a game changer for me in terms of like the 30, especially being so many small lawns that I have to deal with. Like, sounds like pretty similar with yours.
Yeah, and we used the Honda, the HRC 216s for years. Great mowers. I mean, those things change the oil maybe once a year, sharpen the, keep the blades sharp.
Yeah.
Those things will run forever.
Yeah.
And the 30 for our market basically took the place of probably two or three of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're able to get so many lawns. The 30, that thing is just an amazing machine. And Exmark, the quality. My other Navigator, I had one of the first ones, I think when they came out in 2006, I bought that one and I just sold that once I got this other one. I 14 years, I think I ran that thing.
Wow.
It probably had 6,000-7,000 hours on it. One motor replacement at about 3,000 hours, the hydraulics and everything were original to the machine.
Wow.
And I know you're an Exmark guy and you'll appreciate the quality of their product.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing. And just how heavy do I always think like, man, they could really cut some corners here. Like they overbuild these way
too. The things are built like a tank.
Yeah.
And they just last. And they've been amazing on any warranty stuff I have. I love their products and I'll always stick with them.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing is that's what my dealer says. There was some other brands that were trying, like we don't have the selection that everywhere else would have for some reason. My dealer tried to explain it to me and it's not just him, it's of every dealer, but in Canada, because of the Rockies, because of logistics and sort of things. But he was saying, because there was another brand, another large brand that was trying to come in here, and he said that, you know, they build a good product and everything, but the problem is that their parts are like, it'll take forever because they don't have the parts nearby, like distribution and all that stuff. He says with Exmark, everything's like local. Like I can get a part the next day if I need it. And then there's no downtime for the guys running it. So that's why he loves selling Exmark mowers, because if he needs anything, he can get those guys in and out quickly and not have to wait for a week or 2 weeks for parts to arrive or something like that.
Exactly. And that's the main reason too. I mean, my local dealer, cause I'm in a smaller town, well, 30,000 people in the town that I live in. I'm about 30 minutes from my dealer, which is the next town up the way. And he's an ex dealer. So it's one of the main reasons he's close to me. There's one other shop, you know, about 30 minutes the other way too. So, and it's just parts, you know, I mean, I'm not really in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's a smaller town, but 30-minute drive to get parts is still a little bit of a drive, you know, when something's down and you're losing the drive time and the repair time and everything. So the parts are, and yeah, they do come in a day or two. I think it's 2 days. Anything I ever order is the longest I've ever had to wait for anything from my dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Very cool stuff. Like I said, I personally think they could probably cut some corners on some of that stuff. Cause I think there's like, man,
I think so too, but
it's like crazy.
If they need any testament. It's one that I had to, you know, lasted for 14 years and I still sold the thing and got decent money for it cause it was running and somebody was happy cause they got a good deal. And I'm sure he's probably still using that machine today.
Yeah. That thing, that Navigator is on a different level. I've owned both the Navigator and the Walker. And it's hard to compare in terms because the Walker that I had was a fantastic machine, but it was 2007 when I bought it brand new. I'm, you know, going off of, you know, the frustrations and stuff I had with it back then, and they could have been improved already. So it's hard to make a, you know, apples to apples comparison with the two, but
you know, I've had them both too.
Okay.
And the one reason that I chose Exmark is clearly the dealer support. Walker, you have to go to somebody that has them. You can't really, I don't know if you can even go online now and order anything. Sometimes I order some of my parts online, and I know Exmark you can get really easy. Mm-hmm. And Walker's a little easier to work on. I'll give them that. And I really like, the one thing I wish Exmark would do, I love the high dump system that the Walkers have. Some of those that have the high dumps. Those are nice when you know, so you don't have to put it on a tarp, or I think you actually have the little bins.
The dump tubs. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to talk. That I'd be interested in hearing your review on those. I think you might have a video, but I don't know if I've watched it.
Yeah.
And but you know that the Walker's really nice when it has that. But they're great machines. They're both really similar and you know, sort of game changers.
I tell people basically if you need a machine that you need it to perform like all the time, you want it really built, very heavy duty. If you've got employees that are going to be using it and stuff like that, then go with the Navigator. If you want that sort of reduction fill system, go with the Navigator. But if you need a machine that you need all those attachments, or you think you're going to put things like the snow blowers attachment or those other things, or you need that high dump system, then the Walker has a bigger Walker, selection of accessories and things for them, right? But just a thing. But in terms of just straight mowing and stuff, for me, hands down, the Navigator has been, just in wet weather performance, just completely blew my mind how much better it performed in doing wet leaves and stuff in the fall and stuff and not clogging up and things. For me, it was just like, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're right in the heart of leaves. Well, we're just finishing up this week right now. Well, our leaves have sort of came down, and the Navigator just, you know, you blow a little bit on the lawn, and run right over it with the mower. It vacuums them up, and it's ready to go. You know, so it makes life a lot easier. And dry or wet, I mean, it does an amazing job of cleaning up those leaves. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So let's speak a little bit, because you mentioned there that sort of service that you offer that you kind of call all inclusive, and or does seem to be a very California thing. And I noticed it firsthand going to California to see my relatives. And staying with them for a few days in their house. I remember hearing lawnmowers one morning, and it was very typical to what you were saying, where it was just, they only have lawn in the front. The back is just all like paved stone and stuff, and like barbecue smokers and outdoor kitchens and things like that. The front, you know, there's a couple of lawns on either side of the sidewalk with like a lemon tree and things like that. So this crew came in the morning. I heard them. I woke up. I looked out the window, and it was like maybe four guys or something. And it's like a tiny lawn, but these four guys came out, and while two of them were like mowing and trimming, the other two were in the garden beds, and they were trimming and pruning and stuff. And I was like, everything was like perfect looking to start with. But it was that service of just every week. So they're not spending, you know, 3 or 4 hours every couple months doing something. They're just touching everything up every week. If there's a weed to pull, they pull one weed instead of, because they're on top of it every week, right? So I was like, that is so interesting that they just do every house. They're doing everything each week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and it's sort of tough because you have to really, I guess, when you're selling to the customer, you really have to do your homework, I guess, and say, you know, we have some areas that we go into and super nice neighborhoods. They want it perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. But then I have other people, it's like, okay, just keep it maintained. And, you know, a couple times a year, hit the bushes, mm-hmm. you know, sort of stay on top of them, keep stuff off the walkways. So it's, yeah, there's some people that want it perfect all the time here. And trust me, if you're not doing a good job here in California, there's 30 other guys that will take your job because there's always another crew, you know, that somebody else is putting a flyer on their door or something. Mm-hmm. And people don't wait here for much, you know. So you have to stay on top of it. You really have to know your customers. And you know exactly, and that's why it's so important to, you know, to vet them and really go over things and walk the yards with them regularly and, you know, to make sure that you're on the same path with them mm-hmm. to making sure that you're giving them the service they want, and they have to pay for that.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but there is guys that run with big crews that every week it's immaculate, and it's fun to watch them.
yeah.
And there's other two guys, it's a chore sometimes to do what we have to do, but...
Yeah,
some weeks we're just dead tired.
yeah, you know, for sure. It seems the you know, from what I saw, it was very efficient how they were doing it.
Yeah,
very quick in and out. Mm-hmm. Like they were done like 15 minutes, like in and out, mowed lawns, mowed edges, done, all the bushes trimmed and cleaned up, and everything. It was like, wow, that was like crazy how fast they were to go.
You know, I will say, even with the two of us, you know, and we work 4/10s, we could get through, you know, 110 properties on our every other, like our busy weeks when we're doing all the bi-weeklies too, we could get through all of those in 4 to 10 hours. Some days are a little less, some are 9.5 hours.
Yeah,
you have to be very efficient, and just, it's all systems and, you know, how you have it in place. And the biggest thing is just having the right equipment mm-hmm. and a plan, and you just stick with it and roll with it, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. So you mm-hmm. also mentioned some pool maintenance. So mm-hmm. for a few of your clients. So how did that come about? And did you have to do any, like, because I know just from having a temporary backyard pool that I set up in the summertime and stuff like that for the few months, like the whole pool chemistry stuff still just boggles my mind on that. So how did you get into that?
So, you know, being an entrepreneur and, you know, sometimes my mind does some crazy things and I come up with crazy ideas. I don't know where it came about. I might've been talking to my wife about it and said, you know what? I think I should get into some pool maintenance, because this was back when I had, I think, 4 or 5 guys working with me. I said, I could get into that too. And do that physical, you know, I'll go out there and do it. And I have a buddy that, owns a really big pool company down in Southern California.
Okay.
Down in Orange County. So I got a hold of him, talked to him. He goes, yeah, I'll show you what to do. Mm-hmm. Come down and work with me for a few days. I'll show you the ropes. If you ever have any questions, I'm a phone call away. I'll tell you what you need. I'll get you set up. Started thinking, you know, I could probably get into this for $600 and mm-hmm. with the chemicals and all the tools and this added on. I did that. And we probably, I want to say, of those accounts we have, the 10, 12 of them have pools that are tied with them. And then we have about another 5 or 6 that are just pools only that we're doing for customers. I had that up to about 50 of those that I was maintaining at one point in time. And then, when employees went away, I just sort of scaled back and only kept the ones that were tied with the lawn.
Okay.
It's a great add-on service. If mm-hmm. There's not much involved with it. You stay on top of it. You keep the chemicals balanced, clean the filters, make sure the vacuum's working. Pretty simple, you know, mm-hmm. brush the sides.
Yeah.
Just another service, you know, when I'm there, it's another way to make another, you know,
yeah,
$100-$150 a month on, you know, depending on the pool.
Yeah.
And I'm already there at the property. I have zero drive time. Yeah, let's just add it to the account. And a lot of the people, you know, I mean, probably half of our customers have pools, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, 30-40%. But there's a lot of them, and it's just an easy sell when we're already there. So
yeah.
I kept a few of them. I don't know how much longer I'll keep doing them, because the chemicals the last couple of years have really been fluctuating in price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been fun, you know, going to customers, hey, you know, it's going to cost you X amount more per month.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then just keeping up with the cost of everything has been a lot when I'm not fully in that industry.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's
But I just do it as an add-on, basically.
Yeah, very cool.
Is the main reason why, yeah.
Are there any other services besides that you do?
done a little bit of everything, you know, from fence repair to, you know, I've done some pressure washing here and there. Mm-hmm. I used to take care of some restaurants. We did window cleaning for them when they needed it. Just bunch of random stuff, you know, dump runs for people, you know, hey, you have a trailer. Can you haul this to the dump? Yeah, we'll come over. You know, we try to keep Fridays as our sort of cleanup day. Today's a Friday. We're out doing, I think, two or three little pruning maintenance jobs and hauling some stuff off. So, so you know how it is, a little bit of everything.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds very cool, especially when you have, I could tell people, like, it's, you don't, you're kind of on the opposite end of this because you do have like 100 and, you know, plus clients, but I always tell people, like, you don't actually need that many clients if you're, especially if you're a solo operator. If you just get like some, you know, 40 or so really good, you know, full service type clients, they will have work for you in, you know, other things that you will fill up your time.
Absolutely.
And have a very good, you know, amount of work, that could take you through the entire year.
You
know, even in the off season, you know, I used to do a bunch of stuff for people that I don't anymore. Now I take the winters off fully. But I used to you know, do all sorts of like the dump runs and all that sort of stuff, throughout the winters. And,
you know, and here to just expand on that a little bit, here in California, we mow all year. Mm-hmm. We don't stop. Basically from say March 1st up until, you know, Thanksgiving time, the end of November, we are mowing weekly. Might not necessarily edge every week just because it just depends, you know, on the property. Some of them absolutely we do. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is usually the 1st of December, we start to where we mow every other week. The only reason we're really mowing is just to just any debris, that sort of stuff. Sometimes we'll mow once in November, once in December, once in January, once in February. But the weeks in between is when we're doing our, you know, we like to do heavy winter cleanups. We have a lot of crepe myrtles that we deal with here. So we get those, everybody likes them pruned back here. We got a lot of roses. We do rose pruning, you know, bush pruning, just get in, clean out leaves and debris, check sprinkler systems. So we go nonstop and there's always something else to do. You know, like you said, when you have a good client base, and I have a really good client base. I mean, I have customers who've been with me for 15, 20 years now. I think three or four that have been with me the whole time since 2002. And I know them well. You get to, you know, you build a relationship with them and you know, okay, such and such would like mulch every other year.
Yeah.
You know, such and such will, hey, let's replant a couple of these areas. Okay, let's do that. You know, and you build that relationship and there's always, if I ever need any more work, I could just go out and say, hey, let's do this. Next thing you know, I'm busy for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Once I start mentioning it to customers.
Yeah. You almost, I'll keep my eye open for stuff. And then just kind of put it in the back of my head for like, oh, you know, if I ever need some extra work or something, then I can mention this to this person and I'm sure they'll say to go ahead and do it sort of thing. Right.
Just do it and send me a bill. And those are the customers we all love, right?
Those are the best. So do you do any commercial clients as well, or is it all residential? And which do you prefer?
So we're probably 95% residential.
Okay.
We have a couple that we do, a couple Starbucks restaurants, coffee shops, I don't know, restaurant that we do the maintenance on, local realty office here. We do some work for, I like to keep a couple commercials in the mix, because they're usually the ones we work like 6 to 4:30 usually every day. Mm-hmm. So I like keeping those because we could hit them early in the morning. I really prefer the residentials, commercials. You go to they're good money. Don't get me wrong. But you could go and, you know, you do a restaurant that has a drive-through and you're there waiting 15 minutes to blow the place off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parking lot could be packed. There's a lot of, you know, debris that's involved with those. They could take a lot of work, you know, and they usually want those really nice and pristine all the time. You always want to keep them that way. But I prefer the small, I guess you can say cookie cutter residential where I could go hit four yards in an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And back to back, I live in a smaller town. You know, like I said, 30,000 people. If I need to be from one another, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If something breaks, I'm back at my house.
Yeah.
Route density for me is the absolute key.
Yeah, yeah.
2 days of work, 2 days a week, we're in town, which is probably 70 to 75 of our accounts.
Okay.
The other 2 days we go out of town, but the first 2 days when we do, you know, we'll do 30 lawns in a day.
Yeah.
Those are the most profitable days by far. It's just because it's just the volume that we're doing.
Yeah.
The ones that I prefer, the small ones, because if somebody, hey, you know, my bushes need to be trimmed. Okay. Say Mrs. Johnson, whatever. We'll go over there, trim the whole place. She's happy as heck. So we went and cleaned up everything. It took us 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're in and out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are the ones I prefer. The little small ones. We could be quick, easy. If there's an issue, we take care of them very quickly.
Yeah.
It'll never be a big issue. You know, something that could be handled in less than an hour and
yeah, yeah.
in and out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're speaking my language. Yeah. That's my favorite too, the small cookie cutter.
I think we have a lot in common with yeah. our business sizes yeah. and models.
Yeah, absolutely. So this next question is probably one that gives people a bit of pause for thought, where they got to think about their answer. Share a time with us when you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it. But I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll get back with your answer right after this. So stay tuned.
Hey, Lenny Magno with Exmark here with some food for thought when it comes to choosing the right zero-turn mowers. What do you value in a zero-turn mower? Productivity, reliability, cut quality, or a combination of each? At Exmark, we're constantly listening to our customers to ensure our Laser Z mowers deliver the right features, productivity, and uptime performance to help them grow their business. Visit Exmark.com to learn about the innovations that make the Laser Z the green industry's most trusted zero-turn mower.
Okay, so Mark, share with us a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
Okay. I don't know that it'll be one specific time.
Okay.
Something I could say that I've really struggled with. When I first started, I really wanted to just take on, you know, everything. Well, I started as a smaller business, but when mm-hmm. I went full time, and you get into those spots where you're taking on every job, and some of them aren't the best jobs, they're not the funnest jobs to do. And I've really, why am I even doing this? I'm here, you know, working half a day for hardly anything, you know, mm-hmm. and I've struggled. One thing I've really struggled with is almost just, I guess you can say, saying no to anybody.
Okay.
Or saying, hey, that's not the right fit for me. It's something that I've really been working on over the last couple of years. And as I plan to, you know, really expand next year, I'm gonna have a hard time with, because I want to sort of take on everything
yeah.
as much as I can. But I've really struggled with telling people no. You know, I'm a people pleaser. I want to make everybody happy. I don't want to feel like I let them down.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a hard time with that. I've learned over the last few years, like, hey, this isn't the job for me. Or, hey, we're not doing a lot of maintenance right now, even though it's a small little sod install I could do in half a day. I just telling people I don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, yeah, I could probably get to it in a couple weeks. So a couple weeks come by, I'm like, well, I really don't have time. Now I have to bust butt this week to get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably my biggest struggle.
Okay.
I'm trying to just learn to tell people no. And it's something I'm working on all the time, and mm-hmm. learning to be honest with people and trying to find the right fit from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good point too. I've, in terms of the, part where you're kind of putting things off or telling people, one thing that I started doing very early on with mine was never promising customers when I was going to do it. So if they said, you know, can you trim these bushes and stuff, it was always, yeah, absolutely, I can do that, and you know, I'll put it on the list is what I say, and I'll get to it as soon as mm-hmm. I can, right? And I would do that for multiple reasons. I wanted to do just mowing on the mowing days, opposite of mm-hmm. what you guys do. So I was like,
yeah.
Well, you know, I'm mowing 3 days a week. I'm saving my Mondays and Fridays for those other jobs. That gives me the freedom of long weekends and stuff. If I want to go away, I don't have to move lawns around. If the weather is super nasty, I can then have those extra days where I can move lawns around if I had to. Mm-hmm. But then it also allows me, if a customer wants like some hedge trimming done, that I can then, you know, wait a week or so and as I'm talking to other clients and pick up another one. And then now I can group them together and then go on that Friday or whatever and do a knockout, like two or three jobs instead of just one, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. And not by not promising that I'm going to do it this week, because maybe I won't find another one to do this week. You know, I can put it off till mm-hmm. the next week where I've got, you know, more chance to talk with clients and stuff. So I never promise people anything in terms of how long.
Anything, yeah.
For the day or whatever it's going to be.
And I actually, you know, you mentioned the list, and I've actually started that too. I have a notebook that I carry with me all the time. And anytime somebody says something, I just write it down there and I sort of just go through the list. Or if I think I could hit four or five of those jobs in a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with changing to where we work basically Monday through Thursday on the maintenance, and I don't, unless it's something that I could do rather quickly while I'm there, I try to just put everything off until those Fridays. And it's helped, but I still, sometimes I look at that list and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be busy for the next four Fridays. And
yeah.
I know the wife wants to go to the cabin this weekend, so, you know, we try to make it work, and it's nice to have that extra, you know, day off here and there.
Absolutely.
In the heart of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. In what ways would you say you market your business, and share your number one marketing tip?
Okay. I'll be honest, in the last probably 15 years, I had an enclosed trailer that had the logos on the side. Mm-hmm. Got rid of that about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
When I went back down to just the small crew, I haven't done hardly anything in the last few years. It seems like second I'd lose one, phone would ring with somebody else. Somebody else had my number. I was referred to somebody.
Yeah.
I used to do a little ad in the local newspaper here that was really successful. Quit doing that. That was a great way I used to do it. Just recently I've started to do a lot of on Google My Business, starting to get more reviews on this. The phone's been ringing regularly now. Mm-hmm. As we're recording this, hopefully by the time this comes out, I will have a new website coming out.
Okay.
Then I've been working on with, Alex Kirby with Trifecta Landscaping. He owns they're doing a new website for me. Mm-hmm. We've been messing with that for the last little bit, so I'm pushing that. I'm trying to get more of the digital stuff going.
Yeah.
As far as my best tip, get out there and be seen.
Yeah.
Nice uniforms and wave to everybody you see, because you never know when they're going to be your customer. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they might see your truck. Hey, I seen you. Do you have a business card? Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
That's probably the best things that I've done, and I'm really excited to see where it goes in the next year, because I've never had a website or anything. So hopefully that's going to help me out a lot next year too.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Those are some great tips. And a lot of the things that I've always sort of talked about in terms of, you know, you're always marketing. You're always there, even when you're not.
Always.
People are always watching mm-hmm. you. So, you know, even things as simple as how you park your truck and things like that. I've seen guys, you know, just randomly come in and they will park and block somebody's driveway that's not their customer just because, oh, I'll be 5 minutes next door or whatever. And it's like, well, no, that's mm-hmm. not how, like, I will park down the street if I have to and walk with equipment. I'm not going to take off neighbors and things like that, because you're always representing what you're doing. When, you know, I'm mowing these small properties and there's lots of sidewalks and things around, if there's somebody coming down the street walking, a pedestrian or a mother with like a stroller or something like that, I always turn the mower. I don't turn it off, but I stop the blades and I throttle down, especially if there's like a baby in a you know, a stroller or something like that. I'll throttle it down so it's not super loud as they walk by, and you always get that appreciation. You always get that thing. It's like you're marketing right there. They see you.
Yep. And then they see your brand.
Yeah.
Your logo on your shirt and your hat.
Yeah.
They'll remember it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you're always,
that's a great piece of advice, you know, and always I try to keep my equipment as clean as I can. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big thing when you show up to somebody's property, neighbor sees you and you got to, you know, mow it. Looks like it hasn't been washed in a year.
Yeah,
and you know, your truck's got mud all over it. Mm-hmm. You're driving somewhere or something. Like, try to keep it clean and respectful, and that helps with the professional image, you know?
Yeah.
And we always have the same hats, same shirts, we have the same sweatshirts we wear, and I just think it looks more professional, so we're not the, I guess, chuck in a truck, as everybody says now, and mm-hmm. we try not to be that guy, and, you know, try to be seen as being a professional company.
Yeah, yeah.
that's, you know, a good way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your favorite thing about being self-employed?
I love the freedom. And when, I guess when I say freedom, it's one freedom to, you know, my kids are very, like I said, very involved in sports and dance and, and everything. And I love being able to take off when my daughter's got a softball game an hour away.
Yeah.
When my son's got a baseball game to go coach his practice. You know, that's how we bond. My daughter's got a dance thing. I love that. If I want to take off a Friday and a Monday, I can. I have to schedule some stuff. I might be busy for a few days, but I don't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah.
And also with, when I say freedom, is the freedom, I could go out and make whatever I want to make, you know, as much as I want to make, as hard as I want to work. And if I want to take on another job to make X amount of dollars, I could do it. So it's just freedom, I guess, all the way around would probably be the best answer I could give for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So here for me, one of the most common questions that I get when people, or I meet like a customer for the first time, or just meet somebody at, say, like a party or something, and they ask me what I do is, so what do you do in the wintertime? So obviously it's a bit different there in California. You said you guys work year round. So what sorts of things, is it sort of the same pace throughout the winter time there as it is in the spring and summer in terms of lawn mowing and all that sort of stuff? Or are you guys sort of switching things up?
No, so just, we slow down. I mean, we're still servicing everything, I guess is the question you're asking, right?
Yeah.
And more pruning in the winter time, a lot more, you know, stuff like that. We try to take rain days off. We don't necessarily get a whole, so there's not a lot of rain days. We get a rain day, we're in the shop servicing everything, trying to get, you know, all the maintenance done that we can't get done throughout the year. And but no, we go nonstop. We do take a, you know, a week off after Christmas, and we do take 1 week in the middle of summer off too, is our break. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been fine with that. That was something, the summer one is something years ago when I finally said, I can't go all year without some sort of break.
Yeah, even
if there's only two of us. But no, we do go nonstop. We just change it up with a lot more pruning and trimming and odd end jobs and, you know, bark mulch installs, rock installs that people have been wanting. We try to do a lot of that, you know, in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Very cool. So you talked about getting less on larger online presence and doubling your clients in the next year. So what would you say long term, what your future plans or goals are for the business?
Long term, I'd love to get to, you know, so I'll just start with my goal for the next year is, you know, like I said, we're about a little over 100 clients, 110 or so. Let's use a square number of 100. I'd like to be around 200 next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to myself step out of it a little bit to where I'm doing more of the one-time cleanups, the prunings, the sprinkler repairs. So I'm not necessarily on a mower all day, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll give me more freedom to work on the back end of the business, to get the estimates out quicker, to, you know, just communicate with the clients, to do walkthroughs with them. And I'd love to have, you know, like probably two crews. I have enough equipment to and trucks to run two crews right now. So in the next year, I'd love to, you know, be at two full crews, a couple hundred lawns, where I could step out of it and be more of, into more of the owner's role, is the route that I want to go. That's where I want to be in the next year. From there, we'll see how that goes. And I mean, I might just keep pushing as long as the workforce is there.
Yeah.
Maybe move my brother out more of being just the manager, say, hey, you're in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with it. I'll deal with making sure there's work there. So he could have a little bit easier role. We both put in our time.
Lighten
up our load. Give us a little more freedom if we need a day off or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Long term, who knows, or, you know, 5 years, I'd love to just be, you know, like being an owner where I'm stepping in, stopping by, talking with clients, doing that sort of stuff, and then hopefully have somebody doing all the things I said I'm going to be doing next year for me.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
And, you know, maybe traveling a little bit.
Who knows? Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Very cool. So this next question is kind of a fun one. It's one, though, that does give people some sort of pause for thought as well. And that is there a weirdest thing that you've seen or has happened to you during business, or like a fun story that you can share?
A weird thing. Oh, trying to think on this one. I have a bunch when I worked at the golf course. I mean, we had stuff where mowers were going into lakes.
Oh,
it was always pretty funny. You know, when somebody was trying to mow the bank by a green and they drove a mower in a bank or in a lake and slid down in there, like, well, you're the one that put it there. So have fun getting wet up to your waist and hooking a chain onto it while we pull it out with this backhoe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not getting in there. So, you know, we've had that happen. I mean, I've gone, I had a funny story one time. The golf course I worked, it doesn't have to do with necessarily, but I was on a mower.
Yeah.
The back hill, the driving range for this golf course was sort of like a horseshoe shape where you'd hit up into the side of this hill. And we had these old, the brand was National Mowers.
Okay.
And it was the only mower we had that like drives straight up this hill. And I got on this thing and you put it in gear and it was just one speed. You'd crawl up it. Well, then you got up to the top and I'm like, I'm not going to mow it side to side like everybody else. I'll mow this thing straight up and down, right? Mm-hmm. Got all the way up at the top of this thing, started going down. It pops out of gear. The thing's in neutral.
Oh, no.
No brakes on this mower because you just let off the hydraulic.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop. I ended up going down the cart path at probably 15 to 20 miles an hour. I don't even know how fast I was going. It seemed like I was going 100 miles an hour. There's a golfer standing there. I'm going down this thing, and it's not a straight shot.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, dodging stuff, trying to go around. I ended up, I don't know, eighth of a mile down the hill at the bottom of the parking lot in the road. Like, I finally got to a flat spot where it coasted
and
went slow. And I had to sit there for a few minutes and catch my breath on that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was definitely scared on that one.
Yeah.
And one other thing, I have a guy that helps me, and he's going to hate me for this, but I'm going to tell this story because this is a funny one that just recently. And we did a little backyard sod install. They had a pool put in. I posted a couple of videos of this yard back in September on my Instagram. My buddy Angel was helping me out for a couple of days, and I was sitting there and I was we had a little Toro Dingo that we had rented to move some dirt around. I'm sitting there and he turned around and I watched him out of the corner of my eye, and he stepped, brand new pool, he's, you know, pants on, everything, slow motion steps, foot slides off the edge of the pool. He dropped down. I mean, he's probably in the middle of his chest in the water. And I looked at him and I said, I really wish I had the camera on the tripod pointing that way as I'm running this thing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had it going in the other corner because I was building a little fence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I almost caught it on video, but I didn't. But he just took a spill in the pool. And it was a pretty funny moment. I sat there and I just laughed. I said, well, I guess you get to drive home on change. I said, well, good way to get a break. I really appreciate that. You know, he took the truck and went home and changed.
That's funny.
Well, shout out to Angel. Great guy. Funny story, though. Seeing him take a dip in the pool on a hot day was, he could have just jumped if he wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to act like just falling.
Yeah. That's funny. I've actually had customers say that to me, like on super hot days too, with pools, you know, feel free to jump in if you want. I'm like, if I jumped in, your pool would be green with all the dirt and stuff it's on my skin from mowing all day.
One tip.
Yeah.
I'll give you a tip. I mean, you could pull your hat off and dip your head in a pool on, you know, we go a lot of days. I think this year we had like 30 days over 100, and I'm not afraid to, if somebody's pool there, I will just dip my head right in that pool. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Good tip to use.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I usually do is I'll go to like their hose spigot and I'll just soak my hat till it's like completely saturated and then just put it on my head. And then you get the water kind of dripping down your back and stuff and keeping you kind of cool.
Same
there.
Thing, and it's dry and
pretty much. Yeah. So what would you say is a hidden pitfall with running a lawn care business that you see other companies doing that prevents them from succeeding? So this is something that you kind of notice other companies doing, and you're like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. That's not good.
Let me tell you this. This is one thing I'm really big on with my clients. And when I pick up a new customer that has had somebody else, and I'll sort of ask people, you know, hey, what happened? And especially if it's somebody that I know locally, mm-hmm. I try not to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to undercut them, but if somebody's calling me, there's got to be a reason they're looking. And it's yeah. like, okay, are you just overly picky? A big thing that I hear a lot of is, well, you know, such and such, 1 week they're here on Monday. The next week they're here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then they don't show up the next week. And there's no communication. One of the biggest pieces of advice, and I think the reason I've had a lot of the customers I have, I tell everybody, if I'm taking you in my maintenance portfolio, we'll be there consistently unless mm-hmm. something changes. And if it changes, it'll probably be a change from here on out.
Yeah.
I try to be there within like the same hour every week at your property.
Yeah.
Unless there's, you know, middle of winter, there's rain or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a big mistake and a big hole that a lot of people fall in, where they get, I guess you could say, they just get, you know, sort of, oh, well, we don't have to go hit that yard today. We could get it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Customers think about that stuff and they're like, why wasn't my lawn mowed today? Then they're texting you. They're calling yeah. you. I have the people, if I'm not there, if I'm usually there by 9:15, and if it's 10:30, I have a couple older customers there. Mark, are you okay? I'm just making sure everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I know you're usually here by 9 o'clock. No, just a couple minutes behind. I'll be there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I've had that too. Yeah.
That's a big thing I see with people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big mistake people make.
Yeah, that's funny. I've had that too. Where clients, they rely on you so much when you're so consistent that they do text you and you're like, "Are you coming today?" Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm.
And I don't know if you've ever gotten anybody like that, but it's something that I hear a lot of here. And mm-hmm. you know, California's fast paced, and if you're not there, like I said, they'll find somebody else.
Definitely. I've heard about it because I've picked up clients from that, from mm-hmm. companies that have done that, right? And it's like, they're like, yeah, they're just so inconsistent. 1 week they're here, 1 week they're not here. Mm-hmm. Then they'll go and the lawn gets overgrown and then they show up and it's like very inconsistent. They love the consistency. Yep. Makes it so much yep. simpler. Mm-hmm. If you were to start your business all over again, what is one thing you would do differently?
I could probably, there's a couple things I'd probably touch on here. One of them is, I just started using, I was an old school QuickBooks pen and paper guy for mm-hmm. years. You know, when I started in O2, there wasn't much. And I just started using a CRM earlier this year. I use Jobber. It's changed the business a lot. It keeps me on track. It's a lot easier to communicate. And I might sound like I'm behind the times, but I'm switching to a card on file system now. Mm-hmm. I'm getting, you know, I'm having some trouble. I'm probably halfway there now. I got a lot of people. That's something I really wish I would have done a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's anybody out there, get them. Don't even start with taking a check or cash, or there's check-in, or, you know, there's an envelope for you on the barbecue.
Yeah.
Don't go that route.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the things that's helping my business grow a lot now. It's just given me a lot more freedom, so I'm not stuck trying to figure everything out manually, I guess you could say. And another thing is, if I could go back and do it again, I think one thing I would do a little differently is buy the best equipment I could with the money I had.
Yep.
I sort of started with just stuff that was left over. I bought some equipment that wasn't meant to be like commercial equipment early on. I bought used equipment. Now I try to save, and I mean, I don't have any debt. We don't owe anybody anything. And I try to, you know, buy the best stuff I possibly can and keep stuff new and fresh. It helps out just to where everything starts, you know?
Yeah.
That would be the other thing. I wouldn't have gone so cheap, I guess you can say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 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 absolutely. Those are some,
you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some great points there. What would mm-hmm. you say is your biggest frustration about running a lawn care business?
Probably biggest frustration. Sometimes, customers, you know, they have their, they have something in their mind, the way they think everything's going to go and the way they think things are going to happen. And they think that, you know, we'll go to their house and they'll stick a, you know, a note on the gate to the backyard. Hey, can you trim this, and this? Mm-hmm. Like, if I do that, I'm going to be here for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that this week. I'll do what I can. Probably my biggest frustration is just sometimes when you're trying to explain it with customers, they just don't understand it. And I mm-hmm. guess it's just part of doing business.
Yeah.
And it gets tough sometimes when you have to explain to them. It's like, okay, I don't have time for this week. Mm-hmm. You know, I have another 100 I need to be at.
Yeah, yeah.
I value you as a customer. I get that you're having your kid's birthday this weekend, and it's Thursday, and you're just telling me about it when you should have told me 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, for an example. But, you know, I just wish that, you know, a big frustration, I should be a little more patient from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot because, I get impatient sometimes, and there's sometimes when, you know, I don't feel like waiting, and, you know, I have something on my mind, but I have to realize, hey, they're a business owner. They probably have a plan and a way that it's done.
Yeah.
Let's let them do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's probably one of my biggest frustrations.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I've had that in the past. And then the way I've gotten around it was kind of ironic because it all stemmed from 2015 when my trailer got stolen. And I used to mm-hmm. have everything in the trailer all the time, all year round. And when it got stolen, obviously I lost everything that day. So then forward, I only take what I need that day. So, and I was already doing the mowing, you know, on certain days and the hedge trimming on other days, but I'd still have all that stuff on the trailer where now I just take mowers that day. So if my customers are all trained to know that I'm just mowing and all I have with me is a blower, a trimmer, and mowers. That's it. I don't have hedge trimmers with me. I don't have any of that stuff here today because that's not what I'm got on the schedule today. It's just lawns to do, right? So, it's sort of ironic that sort of kind of was stemmed from that. So I don't get that anymore from people asking because they know that that's not what I've got with me.
I have a quick question to ask you. I know you said you had a bunch of that stolen. I actually had a bunch of stuff that got stolen from me earlier this year. And I've had a couple things. Like, I think I had a blower once, got stolen once, a chainsaw. Is that a huge issue that you guys deal with too? Is just equipment getting stolen, or is that just sort of a random thing?
No, I wouldn't say it's a random thing. I would say it's tough to really pinpoint it. For me, I think it was pretty brazen that they did it for me because I'm in a really quiet neighborhood. I'm in a cul-de-sac. You know, they hit I've got my truck and trailer backed in my driveway so that the trailer is like up against the garage and stuff, but they found a way. Like and I had like security cameras.
That's terrible.
They came like four times throughout the night and were working on the locks and stuff and kind of got it all ready and set up, and then they finally brought a stolen truck and one guy jumped out and he turned the trailer sideways while the other guy in the stolen truck backed in my neighbor's driveway kind of sideways up against his garage so that they could turn the trailer because my truck is in front of the trailer. So they pulled it that way over through my neighbor's yard and out his driveway and stuff. So it was pretty brazen the way that they did it and coming so many times and stuff. But in general, I would say that theft in general is on a rise, it seems, because it's constantly you're seeing businesses being hit so much for whatever the case may be, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's equipment or supplies, like every construction, like a basic home building construction, like a house being built now, you'll see a travel trailer parked out front and the builder's like literally sleeping there because if he's not, the lumber will all be gone. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's it's crazy.
It's crazy times. And when I had that stuff, it was funny, and I actually made a funny reel about it on Instagram because my brother walks out front. We were back trimming some crepe myrtles and this earlier this year, and they got me for a hedge trimmer and a couple blowers. And I said, "Hey, go get the blower. You know, we've just finished cutting down these branches." He walks to the back and he's just laughing. He goes, "Well, they just stole everything out of the truck, so I don't think we're going to be blowing this yard off." And it was like, "Oh my goodness, are you kidding me now?" And then, you know, I have a buddy that's a sheriff, and he said, you know, "Mark, there's nothing that could be done about it. Best thing I could tell you is lock it up because they know it's under $1,000 and we're going to slap them with a misdemeanor fine and see you later. Hopefully you get your stuff back, but good luck, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
Now we keep everything locked. So sorry to go off
tangent. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. And that's
curious if you have an issue.
For me, it's the same thing. It's everything. I just take what I need that day, and everything's locked in between.
Everything is locked.
I don't take the stuff. I will. And even if I'm parked, and it's kind of a pain because some of these neighborhoods are so tiny, and I have to park far away because there's like no spot for like the truck and the trailer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll go grab the trimmer, walk all the way to the house, do the trimming, walk all the way back, get the mower, walk all the way back. And I'll try to carry the stuff if I can, but then I'm constantly like, if I have the blower with me, like I'll do the trimming first, and then I will try to take the mower and blower together, and I'll use a handheld blower just because it's easier. Small properties is good, but then I'll be mowing a section, then I have to go like, I could grab the blower, move it to the next, you know, kind of
like stashing it behind a bush.
Well, not stashing, like I'll just take it with me as I'm mowing different sections and just move it around with me, right, so that I have it with me and go on, just because there's people walking around, there's cyclists, there's things everywhere, right? Because you're in the dense city and stuff. So it's like, it's going to disappear if you don't keep your eyes on it. So yeah,
they just grow legs quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a bit of a pain. It's kind of sad that that's what people have resorted to. And it just seems more and more is the thing. I remember growing up as a kid and it just didn't seem like that was a big deal. I remember I did a lawn this past year. And I was trimming the edges, and they're like along the curb. And then I see a whole bunch of Milwaukee high-speed steel, like metal cutting blades on the curb, like on the floor, right? So I picked them up. I thought, oh, somebody kind of must have dropped these or something. Then I clued in. Oh no! It's the catalytic converter guys that are that are going around and ripping off, right? So obviously I looked at the blades and all, you know, there was three blades and they were dull in the middle and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, these were guys at night that just dumped the blades because they were, you know, driving around and stealing catalytic converters.
I have a really funny story to tell you about that too, about a catalytic converter. I'm mowing this lawn and, you know, I'm on the Navigator, got my headphones on with my AirPods in, and just driving along the mower. Navigator's fairly quiet. It's a louder mower, but it's fairly quiet. And I hear this, what the heck? Sounded like there was a race car or something, like, right next to me. So I shut off the mower. I didn't know, like, did the muffler fall off this thing? Like, what is going on here? And I stop, and a guy across the street gets out of his truck, and he goes, did you hear that? I said, yeah. He goes, I think they sold the catalytic converters off my truck.
Oh, no.
And literally right across the way. And he just sort of laughed about it. He goes, it scared me. I said, no, it scared me too.
I
stepped off this mower. I didn't know what was going on. But it's just, it's the whole thing about that. You just never know.
No, it's crazy. They're just, it's just becoming so rampant. All that stuff all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Yep.
So, what is one thing that people don't realize about running a lawn care business?
I think the biggest thing, lawn care business, pool business, whatever you're doing, you know, I've done a couple things now, is there's no breaks. You know, it's just, it's so busy. It's a nonstop thing. There's always something to do. I mean, I get up an hour before we start, I'm usually working an hour before my brother gets here doing paperwork. I think a lot of people just don't realize how much is involved with it when you're a small company. And this may change, you know, as things grow and get bigger, everybody could start, you know, you have people that handle things, but there's just a lot of stuff that's involved with it that I just think people have no clue that, you know, it's so easy. A lot of people these days get in the habits of just, you know, you go clock in at 7:30, you're out of there at 3:30, you take lunch from 12 to 12:30. My lunch could be at 10 o'clock in the morning. It could be at 2 in the afternoon. I think one day last week, I didn't even get a lunch. It's just the way it goes, you know?
And
I think a lot of people don't realize how much is involved with it.
Yeah.
And my mind's always going, thinking new ideas, and it honestly never stops.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, So we're down to the last two questions. This next one. Okay. Share your best piece of advice with those just starting out in the business, but I want you to come at this from the point of view that the person asking you is somebody that you know and that you like and that you only want to see the best for. So if somebody like that came up to you and said, hey, Mark, I'm thinking about starting a lawn care business. What's your best piece of advice for me? What would you say?
Best piece? I would say get out, work hard, do honest, consistent work. Obviously start with the CRM at one. And don't be afraid to you know, like if somebody was asking me, I'd say, hey, my phone's always on. Call me, text me if you have a question with anything. You know, if you need me to look at something, send me a picture. I don't have a problem. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that goes as far as don't be afraid to ask somebody what they're charging. So you're not, you have to know what you're charging. You have to know you're going to be making money. Like, I'll tell you, hey, you know, I'll point to, if they called me, I would charge them $150, $200 a month, whatever, yeah, for monthly service.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. And as long as you work hard and, you know, you show up, good things will keep coming to you. You know, you don't have to advertise a lot. And don't jump in, you know, head first into the pool if you don't know how to swim. You know, mm-hmm, start with a couple, start growing, grow slowly, and just have a plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good things will come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice, especially the, yeah, you know, don't jump into the pool head first unless your name is Angel.
Yeah, right. he went in feet first.
Yeah. So
split in.
So down to the very last question, and it's an easy one for you. So how can people follow you online?
My main thing online, Instagram, Mark McGuire Landscaping, I think it's just Mark McGuire Landscaping, one word. I have a Facebook. I'm trying to build that up right now. Do a little bit on there. You could look for me on there. I'm just going to basically be sharing the stuff over from Instagram.
Yeah.
And I will have a brand new website out soon.
Nice.
MarkMcGuireLandscaping.com.
Nice.
So that'll be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Awesome. So thank you so much for taking the time out and coming and sharing your lawn care business journey with us.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Julio.
Awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Mark McGuire from Mark McGuire Landscaping. I'll leave a link in the podcast show notes for his Instagram account and his website URL as well. So be sure to check that out. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.